Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, good morning to you. 10 minutes after 9 o'clock, I'm Andy. Marianne is with us today, the beauty queen. Hi, Marianne.
Good morning, Andy, and happy Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, you know what? I was talking with Rory O'Neill, NBC News Radio, earlier, and he said, hey, happy Fat Tuesday. And I'm like, what did you call me? He said, I didn't say Fat Andy Tuesday. I just said Fat Tuesday. I'm like, I don't know.
It's a thing. It's a day.
I know, but it's not very flattering. I don't know.
It was a bigger thing for me growing up, super Catholic. You know, we were very, very devout. And so this was the last day of sort of splurging before Lent starts.
Yeah, Lent. And, I remember sitting on an airplane with next to a lady who was very Catholic, mm-hmm. and she was in the midst of Lent. And mm-hmm. for her, she gave up alcohol. Well, she was supposed to until about halfway through the flight, she couldn't take it anymore.
Getting a little bumpy, and she needed a little liquid courage. She
didn't quite make it.
That's understandable.
But it happens. We're all human, right?
I think flying's an unnatural act myself, so I do it much better medicated.
Hurtling through the air in a metal tube at 600 miles an hour, that doesn't seem too natural to me.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine as long as it's smooth, but the minute there's a bump, I start getting really anxious. So,
So I have a daughter. I've told this on the air before, but she's terrified of flying. But mm-hmm. she's also a very logical-minded person. She just, I mean, to her, you know, everything's in a line. And I told mm-hmm. her, I said, as we were getting ready to go on a flight, I said, okay, now switch your logic brain on mm-hmm. and think about this. Every day there are literally thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of flights throughout the country.
Right.
How many of them have you heard have crashed in the last, even recently when we had two or three crashes?
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't happen, you know? And she's like, oh, you make a good point.
Right, so. Right. I think the odds are you more likely to get hit by lightning or something than being
in a car crash on the way to the airport.
Yeah. I don't want to think about that.
Well, Marianne, one of the things I know you wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk about today mm-hmm. was knee pain, knee surgery. How do you know when it's time?
Mm-hmm.
When it's time, how bad is it? How long does it take? What's the recovery like? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I have a sister in law who had knee surgery, and I hesitate to bring this up, but she had to go back in to correct the first surgery mm-hmm. was not done quite correctly, and so she's going through all that and going through the recovery. And I have a significant amount of knee pain at night, especially. So it's a topic that is fascinating to me. What have you learned?
Well, I want to sort of caution your listeners that this is a huge asterisk. I'm not a medical professional, but I have done.
Plays one on TV.
I do. I played one during my husband's knee replacement surgery.
So you have firsthand knowledge of, maybe not, you didn't have it on you, but you were right there.
Correct. And I've had several friends who've also had it, including one who actually had to go back and have a second fix. And he's still kind of struggling a bit, unfortunately.
Well, let's talk about Doug first, your husband. Mm-hmm. So people should know Doug was an athlete. He mm-hmm. was a runner. He was a guy that was in prime shape.
Yeah, ultramarathoner.
But the knee doesn't care if you're an athlete or if you're not an athlete or whatever. The knee, when it needs to be fixed, needs to be fixed.
Yeah, there are some sort of conditions that will lead to this at some point.
Uh-huh.
And basically, if you have, he had had a meniscus tear. So uh-huh. let's go back first and talk about what causes all the knee pain, essentially your cartilage gets affected. And what's the cartilage? That's the protective tissue that's, you know, between your bones. Yeah. And so in your knee, you have basically three bones. You have bones that allow you to walk, all right? So you have your femur, the big bone in your thigh. You have your shin bone, you know, right? And you have the patella, the knee. And so all of those are all sort of working together in a normal body that's not affected. And all this cartilage is keeping it, you know, cushioned and acting like a shock absorber for when you bounce or you jog or you run or even just walking.
Sure.
So, and cartilage provides stability, basically. So meniscus tear is sort of one of the reasons that people have, you know, initial problems with their knee. The meniscus are two little sort of crescent shapes of cartilage that are on either side of your patella, basically.
Okay. And patella is a kneecap.
Yep. Yeah. And there's also articular cartilage tear. It's basically this damage to the smooth surface of that joint, okay? And then basically the one that we all deal with as we age is osteoarthritis, okay? That's basically a degenerative condition where the cartilage just sort of starts to break down and basically kind of disappears at some point, and you can get that bone-on-bone thing.
That's a little scary.
Yeah, which a lot of people have felt, and that's really when you get to a point where you can have injections, you can try and do a lot of things, but there really isn't much that can be done. Even people have had some stem cell injections, and those are not only not FDA approved, but they're also really, really, really expensive, and they don't typically work for very long. Doug had a number of cortisone injections. He had that injection of, it wasn't stem cell, but it was some sort of material, and that lasted about an hour and a half. And he'd gone through all of this rigmarole, and finally the doctor just looked at his, you know, x-ray and said, you know, you're just kind of preventing the inevitable. You can do it now, you can do it later when it's much, much worse. So he went ahead and had it done in September of 2022. And I'm not going to lie, it really wasn't a pleasant thing, especially in the first 2 weeks. It's pretty painful. I was really shocked when I went to pick up all of the medications they give you for afterwards, and there was this huge vat of stuff, and I
really
thought, oh my Lord, he's going to end up being a drug addict, but it does require some, you know, getting ahead of the pain for the first week or so.
Let's talk about the psychological aspect before we get into some of the physical stuff more. Let's talk about Doug. He's an athlete. He's a guy that is used to being mobile and active and doing things. And I know I ran into this when I had back surgery. I was a guy that always lifted the heavy thing and moved the things around. And I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I could do it still. But I know later on, I will pay.
Sure.
And in fact, my wife tries to shield. She'll tell people like, hey, Andy, can you help us move the piano or whatever? Mm-hmm. And my wife will say, he can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And now I could do it. But
it's hard not to be that guy that you've always been.
Yeah. And so Doug's facing this idea of, look, I've been an athlete my whole life, and I'm going to literally not be able to walk pretty much for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a couple of months, really.
A couple of months.
I mean, you can walk. Let me amend that quickly. They put you on a walker within an hour after your surgery.
Yeah, and it hurts.
Well, you have a block for about 3 days.
Oh.
So you don't feel anything, and it's kind of like, ooh, whoopee, this is pretty cool. I can do all this stuff.
No problem.
Yeah. And then the block wears off, and that's when you really have to have the pain management drugs, which are really super important. And Doug was like, I don't want to take drugs, blah, blah, blah. And after about 4 days, he said, oh, bring me the drugs.
It happens to us all.
But he got off of them pretty quickly. And but it was a tough thing. And yes, there was a lot of, I think there's still a residual feeling of, gosh, am I old? Am I not able to do this anymore? But we've talked about this before. I think part of this is figuring out your next chapter. What can I do that I couldn't do before? Okay, he's not going to run ultra marathons anymore. He can still power walk. You know, he still does that. He can still swim. He plays a lot of golf. He can cycle. Those are all things that are actually really, really much more forgiving on your joints.
Was there a time where he felt a frustration, like, I am never going to be able to be who I was again? Did that enter into it?
I think that was really in the first couple of weeks when the pain was so intense. And I walked into the bedroom one day and he was literally like, you know, pounding on his knee. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, it just hurts so much. I'm never going to be the same. It's never going to go away. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, honey, you know. And it was heartbreaking to watch.
Sure.
Of course, because this is a person that I adore. And I knew from all of the consultations with the doctor before that this was going to go away, it would pass. But when you're going through it actively, it's a tough thing for sure.
Yeah.
I always think about one of my best friends in California who had both knees done on the same day, both knee replacements. And I said, why are you doing that? And she said, well, the surgeon told me if I have one, then I'm never going to come back from having a second one.
Oh, no. Do it now before you find out that it sucks.
Yeah. So, but honestly, and that was, you know, a long, many years ago, but it has become better, but it's still a significant thing to think about. But the upside is after you get through that phase, life is so much better. And everybody that I know said, oh my gosh, why didn't I do this before? My life is so
much
better.
So how long ago did Doug have his done?
His was in September of 2022.
So it's been
almost 2.5 years.
Is he, you mentioned he's happy he had it done.
Oh,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
But he had to deal with some things, though, that are never going to happen. Like you mentioned, ultra marathon for everyday. You know, running and jumping is
anything that's high impact that makes you jump up and down. You're going to compress that cartilage. You're going to, you know, cause more stress on those joints, and that's just not a good idea. You know, running is really not that good for people our age. And
I want to mention, I had a friend that had similar surgery, and they put a particular type of metal inside her that she was allergic to.
Oh,
and so after, you know, going through everything that you go through with the recovery, and then, but she wasn't getting better. In fact, she was getting worse. And the doctor finally said something ain't right in there, and they had to go back in, and they found out that she was in fact allergic to this type of metal. That's a rare case.
Wow.
I don't want people to not get surgery because of this, but it is possible.
I have to tell you a funny story. Doug had, you know, absolutely no response of that type, but the next time we got on a flight, we went through the metal detector.
And it went off.
Yeah. So now he has to be wanted every time we fly.
I did that at a ball game I went to a couple of weeks ago because I have rods and screws in my neck and back. And the alarm went off. The guy's like, "You got anything in your pockets?" I'm like, "No, it's not my pockets. It's my back. Sorry."
He had no idea. I mean, he's had a titanium plate in his neck for several years because about a year after we met, he had a three-way cervical fusion. And they put in, you know, bolts and a titanium plate to put it all together, and that's never set off the alarm, but for some reason the new knee absolutely did.
Wow. So let's talk now leading up to it. How did he know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned the doctor said you can get these shots, it can prolong it, but eventually you're going to know. How did he know? And also, is there a certain age where you go, it's not worth it? And you know, my dad is 89. He has a bad knee. The doctor was, he's like, doctor's like, you could get knee surgery if you wanted, but and my dad's like, nah, forget that.
At this
point, I'm
89.
You know?
I mean, it really depends on what your quality of life is, what you want that to be. And Doug was still young enough that he wanted to still try and do some kinds of sports and activity and physical fitness. So basically, if you're getting to a point where you have joint pain and stiffness and limited mobility, swelling's a really, really big sign of something being wrong, then it's kind of time to make the appointment with the osteopath, basically. They'll kind of say the same thing. You can have if the damage isn't quite so severe, you can consider a partial knee replacement, which is a much smaller. There are three compartments of the knee, apparently. There is the medial compartment, which is the inside section. There's the lateral compartment, which is the outside section. And there's something called the patellofemoral section compartment, which is underneath your kneecap. It's your patella, basically. And it's obviously a lot easier to recover from a partial knee replacement than the full replacement like Doug had. They basically built him an entire new knee out of plastic and metal.
Wow.
And so they're taking off essentially this section of your body between, you know, your tibia and your femur and replacing it with this whole prosthesis, which is pretty freaky.
So I want to ask you, so anytime I get diagnosed with something or someone I know gets, I always want to go, well, what caused it? Why did this happen? And sometimes the answer is it just did, you know, you know, like my little sepsis thing I have or my numb leg, it just happened. But with knees, is there a way we can stop this from happening? I mean, short of not doing anything, you know, I play basketball my whole life. I love basketball.
Right.
Is that causing my knees to wear out?
Well, after a certain point, it takes a toll. I mean, Doug had been a major skier and mountain biker. Both of those things are pretty high impact. He'd been a ski patrol guy in California. He's love mountain biking and all those things and running, you know, running distances. So that takes a wear and tear toll on your joints after a while. What you can do, though, is sort of mix in other kinds of exercise, right?
Low impact.
Okay. You know, there's yoga, there's walking, there's swimming, there's cycling.
I guess the pool's a big one, huh? Because
there's really, really big impact, hardly. Exactly. Really, really good thing. And then, you know, if you are actually having an acute attack and you don't think you would probably know if you tore something. That's a pretty acute thing, and you're feeling like a sudden onset of just excruciating pain versus an ongoing sort of dull, aching stuff. Those are two different, you know, types of things. If you have the onset of something excruciating, you should get yourself to the doctor right away. Mm. But there are other things you can do if you think you have sort of like a chronic, you know, cartilage injury. My favorite is called RICE, which is an acronym for rest, ice, compression, and elevation. Hmm. So, you know, basically get off your knee, get off your knees and your legs, and then elevate your leg, elevate your knee, put on a compression sock if you can, if you have one of those. That's really helpful because it kind of moves the blood back up, you know, through. And then, and icing is really, really important as well because that takes down the swelling.
And is then, there, on the elevation part, does it need to be, I've heard that it needs to be higher than the heart. Is that true?
Higher than your heart. Well, that's ideal, but that's not always possible. But right. If you're, you know, at work, you can't really stick it up there on your desk.
No,
but
I'd fall over anyway if I tried.
Try and get it off the floor. Physical therapy is certainly helpful, but then if it's not getting any better and you feel like it's just this chronic thing and your quality of life is being affected, then maybe it's time to consider talking to a surgeon.
And a word about physical therapy. First of all, I have family members who are physical therapists, but I found physical therapy to be extremely difficult because what they're doing, they're asking you to do things that hurt. Or I had the last time I went to a physical therapist just a couple of weeks ago, she's like, we need to differentiate between uncomfortable and pain. And I'm like, they're the same thing. And she's like, no, they're not. If you're uncomfortable, that means your muscles just aren't used to it.
Yeah.
Pain is when, you know, there's a real problem. But she says, if it makes you uncomfortable to do this, I'm like, yeah,
you're doing the right
it
thing.
Hurts. That's uncomfort, not pain.
There's a reason they call them physical terrorists, yes.
Yeah.
And in fact,
I'll go on with that.
After Doug's surgery, he had about 6 weeks of PT three times a week with a shout out to Ron Daniels on Dixie Drive. He's a wonderful, wonderful physical therapist. And I took Doug to every appointment because he couldn't drive at that point. And it was pretty painful for me to watch this happen.
Yeah, you have to sit and watch it.
Oh, when he was on a bicycle cycling backwards, that was apparently quite painful. And then there's also this really, really fun thing where Ron would take his ankle and pull his leg up to see what kind of
range of motion
he had, and then put a ruler underneath there. There's some sort of, you know, calibrating device where he could tell, and at one point, is it, you know, 10 degrees, 20 degrees, 90 degrees, blah, blah, blah. And that was, you know, Doug would try not to cry, but
So yoga.
But he got there.
You mentioned yoga. Do you remember the old P90X program?
Oh, sure.
We did P90X, but their yoga program, P90X was, I don't know if people remember, it was like a little DVDs and you played and the guy showed you what exercises to do and stuff, but he had a yoga program that was 90 minutes long. Well, most of the P90X programs are under an hour. They're like 50-something minutes long. And so I always thought it was weird that he would have a 90-minute yoga P90X program. So I actually went through and took notes and kind of extracted 60 minutes out of it for my wife and I and my boys to do. This is when my boys were teenagers and so we would do it together, and I still have that, and it's kind of nice to have. But there are certain poses I can do that you and my wife can, but I cannot. You know, one of them I think is the crane. You stand on one leg and pull your arm, or the ballerina arm behind you, the leg behind you.
I can't get
stuff.
My foot up back behind my ears, but I can get it up pretty high.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. But yoga is a great tool, especially if you, like me, have a lot of stiffness problems. It'll help stretch you out a little bit.
It's wonderful. And also at our age, it's important for balance as well. Super, super important. But there are exercises you can do, certainly, if you want to see how long you can prolong the inevitable. Straight leg raises, wall squats, hamstring curls, ankle pumps, chair push-ups are pretty easy to do, but they can strengthen knees and also your arms, your triceps, which is pretty cool. And then the most important thing, all the research says, the most important thing to prevent knee problems is to maintaining a healthy weight. And it just makes sense. If you have less weight straining all those joints and everything, your body is going to be a lot happier. And so that's super important. And then stretching daily, and consider physical therapy if you're hurting.
There was a study on the wire today that said by 2050, which is still 25 years away, but by 2050, more than 50% of the world will be obese or at least overweight. by 2050. Now, there are obviously technological things coming along that might change that.
But, all the Ozempics and things.
Yeah, but that the trend right now, we're trending, we're in the 30s right now, the world.
Right.
They say by 2050, we're going to be at 50%. Half the world will be obese.
That is terrifying. The saddest thing I ever saw was walking down the street in Paris and seeing signs for, I'll just say, American fast food franchises and thinking, oh, what have we done to these beautiful cities, you know?
That's true. I saw a meme yesterday of, the statue David, the statuesque perfect body.
Yes,
and
yes.
They had a picture of a statue of a fat guy, and they said, David, after 3 months in the United States. Yeah.
Oh, so that is really sad. I think, what is it, right now the statistics are 1 in 3 in the U.S. are overweight or obese.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a terrifying thought.
And the one thing that is sad about it, and I'm overweight, I admit it, but I'm active. There are a lot of people who are overweight who are not active, who just
exactly,
and they maybe don't even eat that much, but they don't get it. They get zero exercise, and walking to and from your car does not count.
No, then you're prone to all kinds of things: high blood pressure, stroke, heart attack,
type 2 diabetes.
Exactly.
So
there are lots of. I was reading something recently about the fact that we shouldn't use the body fat calipers as a gauge of fitness. You know, it's people like you who play pickleball and active and doing things.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your weight is, essentially. It's just, what's your fitness?
Moving.
Are you moving?
Okay, final word on the knee, because we're going to talk about some other things after the break on knees. Recovery time. If I get knee surgery, you mentioned, I said 2 weeks, you said 2 months. I guess it obviously depends on the person, but what are you talking about recovery-wise for the most part?
You'll be up and running, you'll be up and walking around immediately.
They make you get up and go.
They make you get up and go. Okay. In fact, you cannot leave the hospital until you've walked down the hallway. And in our case, because we have stairs in our house, there was a little pretend staircase that they made Doug go up and down.
Really?
Yeah, to make sure that he could navigate that.
But he didn't use them at home, right? He stayed on one floor?
No, no.
Used them.
We had a walker upstairs.
Way to go, Doug.
And a walker downstairs, and he would sort of navigate and, get upstairs and grab that walker and get down the stairs holding onto the railing and then grab that walker and walk around the house. Nice. But essentially, the most acute part is probably going to be about 6 weeks of feeling like, oh, this is kind of difficult. And then magically, like he said, like the next week he woke up and went, oh, it's not so bad. And it took about 2.5 months before he was feeling like he could really navigate around. We were out on the trail in about 2 or 3 weeks. Just walking with his walker, but he didn't really want to have the walker. Then he graduated to a cane, and then he had that for a couple of weeks, and then eventually he was off all of that.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Did the knee pain go away completely?
I would say it's intermittent, but it's far.
So mostly gone?
Mostly gone, yeah.
Okay.
Much less acute than it used to be.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And all in all, it was a successful thing, and he's very happy he did it.
Well, and there's a reason they do it. I mean, they don't do it because they want to make money on knee surgeries.
Right.
Well, that's part of it, I'm sure. But they do it because that's the only way to fix it. If you have severe knee pain, you need it.
Yeah, if the cartilage is gone, it's not coming back. You're not going to regenerate it for sure, and it's just it's not going to feel any better. And it's amazing how easy it really is. I mean, these surgeries take 40 minutes, and you're in and out. It's just crazy.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It is 9:38. Happy March the 4th to you. I'm Andy Griffin. Marianne Hamilton is here, our beauty queen. She always makes the studio a little prettier every first Tuesday of the month.
Thank you, Andy. Always good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Marianne. You have a sharp jacket on today. I like that.
I'm going to an event after work, so I wanted to take it up a little bit.
Nice. So what kind of event is it?
It is
exciting and fun.
It's called A Bolder Way Forward. It's at Innovation Plaza. It's essentially a conference about the status of women in Utah and how to, empower us and get people elected, all those kinds of things. So
I'll have you know that the female gender is my favorite gender. It really is.
On behalf of us, I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We were talking a lot about knee stuff, and I really appreciate you doing some research on that and getting it ready. It's one of those things, you know, at our time of life, and you're a little older than me, but we're close to the same age. That kind of stuff comes up, especially if you're a big dude, you know.
So. I hate to sound so negative, and I'm afraid that I may have scared people off, but it is something really, really that's important to do. Just know that, you know, the ends will justify the means, you know, and you'll feel much, much, much better when you come out the other side. It's just, you know, there's hell in the hallway, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you have to get to that point. You have to, you know, to the point where it hurts so bad now, I got to do something.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really when people make that decision. They go, okay, it's time to do something.
Conversely, so. I have a friend who was the former chair of Art Around the Corner, Rondalyn, who had a knee replacement last year, and she kept waiting. Her sister's a nurse and came and stayed with her. They both kept waiting for the block to wear off, and apparently it did, and Rondalyn never, ever had any pain.
Oh, wow. That
was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah,
that would be so
And
awesome.
She just has been made a fantastic recovery. It was just, you know, everybody's different.
I've had friends have hip replacement as well, which sounds worse than knee, but actually
it was less
of a recovery time than knee replacement surgery. Because if you think about that, how you use your, you know, to walk,
correct,
you use your knee, you don't really use your hips as much for that kind of thing.
When we went for the pre-surgical consultation, we see this, you know, video about what to expect, and they say that the easiest one is shoulder and then hip, and then knee is the most problematic as far as recovery. But, you know, people get through it.
Yeah, and like you said, the ends justify the means, and the means may be mean, but
you know, it's
worth it.
That the U.S. performs more than 850,000 knee replacements a year. You know, it's the doctors have it down to a science, and they're really, really, really good here in town because we have a large senior population.
One of the things that, and I've had several surgeries, but one of them was I had to have something taken care of, and I got to select my doctor, who the surgeon was going to be, and I picked a guy who was not only had he done a whole bunch of this particular surgery, he actually taught other doctors how to do that surgery, and I'm like, that's the guy I want, because he's the expert.
Yes, so. That's what you want. Lots of experience, lots of expertise.
For sure. All right, we have Gala. I looked it up, and it's actually correct pronunciation. Gala, Gala, and Gala are all actually correct, depending on how you want to say it. Okay. I've always said Gala.
Me too.
I know other people say Gala.
The people at the Kayenta Arts Foundation Board of Directors that I serve on call it the Gala.
So Gala.
The Gala, yes.
Sounds French that way.
It's quite elegant.
So there is a Gala or Gala tonight, yes?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, it's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I don't know why I thought it was Wednesday. It's Tuesday. Yeah, tomorrow night.
St. George Art Museum is having their Western Revival Gala.
I think I saw a picture of somebody in Western wear for that.
Oh, yes. Ad. You may have seen my Facebook Live post from last Friday where Michelle Graves and I attempted to do a Facebook Live broadcast. And unfortunately, about 30 seconds into it, the microphones had a meltdown. And Michelle doesn't need a microphone. She can be heard in Montana. And I have probably...
But not Marianne.
Not I. I have the softest voice in the world. So it was pretty hilarious. And, you know, I'm sort of mouthing information about the gala.
Anyway,
it's a Western themed based on the fact that there's a beautiful display of Western artwork in the museum right now with Ansel Adams.
Yes. One of the great photographers of all time.
Absolutely. So keying off of that, it's a Western theme. Everybody's coming decked out in their finest Western wear. We're having barbecue from Big Lud's.
Good stuff.
St. George's favorite son, Eric Dodge, will be performing and also giving us line dancing lessons, which will be super fun.
And do you already know how to line dance?
Oh, no.
Oh, this will be a new thing.
It'll be a new thing. I've met Eric. He's a lovely, lovely human.
He is a good guy.
Darling guy. And I think Hive 435 Tap House will have some drinks. And there'll be a great display of artwork. A wonderful photographer in town, Mo Atkin, will have a photography exhibit and pieces available for sale. And there will be an auction of the artwork. All that for $75, which is pretty cost effective.
When you think of gala or galas, you think, you know, the evening gowns and the tuxedos and stuff. But this is Western themed. So
Western.
You're encouraging everybody to put on their cowboy boots.
A
little hoedown.
I mean, that was part of the thinking. Was, you know, most of the time you do. You put on the monkey suit or the cocktail dress you haven't worn in 6 years. And everybody eats rubber chicken, and it's kind of a stuffy kind of thing. And this
I
is
hate rubber chicken.
We wanted to do something a little bit different. Just make it fun and accessible for the community. And it's only from 6 until 8, so it's doable on a work night or a school night.
Nice. And that is where, again, this...
Well, in theory, it was to be in the patio outside the St. George Art Museum, but there may be some sketchy weather rolling in. So if that's the case, we'll bring it inside the museum, which
would be fun. If it was today, which I was mistaken, it's not. It's tomorrow. It would be perfect today. Yeah. But tomorrow, we're supposed to get some storms.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's okay. We'll be inside connecting with each other and dancing and having a great time.
All right. And I highly endorse Big Lud and his barbecue truck.
Yes,
good. Great brisket. People maybe don't, they know this about me now, I think, because I talk about it, but I love smoked turkey more than the other meats. I love smoked turkey. And Big Lud's smoked turkey is so good. I don't know if he's going to have any of the things.
Can I have a big turkey leg? And
No. It's sliced turkey. Sliced turkey. And it has the bark on the outside, that's what they call the bark on the outside when you smoke it, and it just tastes so good.
That sounds delicious.
So, have some turkey on me. That'll be awesome.
I'm going to be an official greeter, so I'll be checking people in at the door and checking IDs in case people want to have an adult beverage.
Okay. There is also stuff going on this weekend, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Saturday, Roxanne, the second annual Roxanne.
Every time I hear the name of that, I want to play that song really bad.
It's the Roxanne gravel bike race, which starts in Gundlach and goes out. It's about 24.5 miles, I believe, and up to the hills out on, where are we? It's Gundlach Reservoir, and it goes down to Mataqua Trails that winds around behind the
reservoir. So is this like a mountain bike thing?
It is.
So they're going on dirt and trails and stuff? Okay.
They have two categories. There's the regular mountain bikes, and we also have an e-bike category, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
So that opens up the possibilities for more athletes to take part, which is fun. And great, 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 great views.
By the way, it's spelled Roxsand, Roxanne.
Roxanne.
Okay.
And you can go to St. George Races website, sgcityutah.gov, and find out more information.
Where's the start place again? Gundlach?
Gundlach Reservoir, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And that's at 9 o'clock. You can go out and pick up your packets if you register about 2 hours ahead of time.
The doctor told me I'm not allowed to get on bikes now anymore because of my balance issues.
Oh, balance, yeah.
Yeah. You can get on one, but you'll be getting off it before you want to.
You can get a stationary bike.
Yeah.
And ride.
I'd probably fall off of that, too. Roxanne Race is this Saturday. 9 a.m. is the start of the race. So you'll want to pick up all your stuff before that.
A couple hours ahead of time.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. Doug and I worked at that last year, and we only had to have one guy taken off in an ambulance. But yeah, he kind of went head over heels. That happens on mountain bikes. But
it does, yeah.
Mostly it was a very, very safe event.
My son, who is now 33, I'm getting so old, but he is into dirt biking, with a motorcycle, a motocross, whatever things they are. And I was like, hey, that kind of sounds fun. Can I do that? And he said, well, Dad, here's the thing. Number one, you've got to have really good balance. I do not. Mm-hmm. He said, number two, you fall down a lot in dirt biking. And when you fall down, you have to get yourself back up. And he says, it's usually low speed falls, so you're not really injured. But he says, there's a lot of picking yourself and the bike back up.
A fall is a fall still.
Yeah. And I was like, maybe I won't do that then. Give me something with four wheels.
When Doug was mountain biking a lot, we considered it a moral victory if he came home and there was no blood involved anywhere. It's just kind of nature of the beast.
Yeah.
That's not something I really want to do.
No. Also Saturday, the Kayenta Arts Foundation Gala?
Gala. Yeah. That'll be a fun one. That's Desert Blooms. And it's a big, flower power theme with lots of flowers everywhere, floral drinks, raising money for the Kayenta Arts Foundation.
And this is a evening gown tuxedo type event?
Sort of.
Okay.
I got a really insane dress. I can't even describe it. It has a big flower on it.
Insane dress.
Yeah.
Now I am intrigued. We need pictures.
We will send pictures.
Yeah,
sure.
Pictures where it didn't happen, right?
Yeah. Yes, and Doug has a new sort of a tuxedo jacket with lots of flowers on it.
Really? A flowered tuxedo?
Well, it's, floral.
Floral? Fascinating.
Yeah, it'll be fun pictures.
That is Saturday evening. Mm-hmm. You mentioned flowers, floral drinks. Amazing food and an auction as well.
Auction, yes. Yeah, auctioning off fantastic original pieces of art, all to keep the Kayenta Arts Foundation programs moving forward.
Now, you tried to get out of the art world, not maybe out of the art world, but as an official in the art world, but you're still in, aren't you?
Yeah, I resigned from the Art Around the Corner board last year. I'd been on for almost 10 years, and I had served as chair. And just figured I had done as much as I could for that particular group. Although I ended up speaking about them yesterday at the AAUW luncheon, American Association of University Women. And anyway, then Doug and I were both recruited to join the Kayenta Arts Foundation Board of Directors. So we both cycled onto that last fall.
Wow, yeah. Look at you. Yeah, you thought you were out, you're in. You're well, in a different spot. But
The most fun thing is that I'm now working part-time for the city, writing grants that support arts programs and writing those press releases about arts programs.
Yeah, I don't see very many. You need to send more of those to me.
Oh, sorry.
I love those. So okay. Let's get a quick break in. More with Marianne Hamilton. It's 9:49.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
I am Andy Griffin. She is Marianne Hamilton. Has been for how long you and Doug been married?
Oh gosh, this year we'll be celebrating our 23rd anniversary.
All right, yeah. That's awesome.
We've been together 25 years.
Yeah, we are. At 36.
My.
Yeah. Like I said, I have a 33-year-old, so you know I'm old, but not as old as some people.
Some people sitting in the room with you. Yeah.
But you look fantastic. I look like I'm in my 60s. You look like you're in your 60s as well, but you are not anymore.
I am not anymore. Not for about almost 13 years.
Yeah, but you look great.
Thank you, dear.
You look great. Okay, coming up next week, some stuff. Tell me about Shamrock Junction. What does that mean?
That's going to be a fun thing that's happening at Thunder Junction.
Okay.
Right around I think you have the dates there on the piece of paper. But it's
March 14th through 18th.
Yeah, they're basically transforming Thunder Junction into sort of a magical leprechaun.
St. Patrick's Day.
Same thing. Lots of green. Lots of activities for kids. There'll be a magician. There'll be all kinds of food and fun stuff. So bring your kids out to Thunder Junction.
Okay. After that, or not after that, but yeah, it is after that. March 21st and 26th, paint nights.
Yes.
Now, it's funny because I talked about this a little bit, and then members of my family were there, like, excited about this tile mural thing. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so the new City Hall building is due to open in October of this year on Main Street, right across from Town Square. And over the entrance to the brand-new council chambers, there's going to be a humongous mural made out of 1,000 porcelain tiles.
1,000.
They're 4.5 by 4.5 inches square, and they're going to be, it's hard to explain verbally, but when you see the picture, you kind of understand. Everybody gets a particular color. You would want green or brown.
Yeah. So you get the tile. When you go to paint night, you get the tile.
Yeah.
And you can put anything you want on it.
But what you love about St. George, aside from no words and, of course, no profanity.
Right.
And you have the 80-20% rule. Like, I'll have pink, you'd have green. 80% of what you paint needs to be
that color.
That color, the green palette. And then 20% could be the accent colors, white or black or whatever, or blue. And then when it's all magically put together, they'll be arranged into this big, big mural that's been pre-designed by this company in Canada that does these murals. And it will become a mural depiction of people riding and walking through Snow Canyon State Park.
That is so
cool. It's just amazing. Yeah. It's just amazing. And we've done probably 5 or 6 of these paint nights so far, and the artwork is phenomenal. We've had probably 60 people last Friday night at the social hall painting.
My sister said, "When next time they have one of those, call me because we're all going together."
Oh, good, good.
So
we're having another one Monday, but it's already sold out, which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
It's free. It's free. We just have to register online at sgcityutah.gov and just go to the mural. And
The ones I'm seeing, I'm looking at the dates, 21st and the 26th. So that's, 2 Fridays from now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is on a Wednesday night, right?
Yeah, they're Wednesdays and Fridays. And then we actually, if you're, finding out that it's already sold out, don't worry. We're going to keep doing this probably through the end of June or into July.
Okay.
Because, we do have 1,000 tiles to get get painted.
So you go, you paint the tile, whatever you want pretty much on the tile, but as long as you match the color scheme that you're given, then you're good to go. And so the mural will have a whole bunch of really tiny or small pictures of whatever, but the amalgamation of it all will be this incredible mural.
It really, really, it's hard to explain, but if you go to the city website and take a peek, you'll understand. And it's really, really, really amazing. It's, you know, basically a big collaborative community project, and we can all be part of St. George history.
That is actually really cool, because that mural figures, I mean, how long is the city hall going to stand?
Oh,
10, 20, 30, 40 years? Who knows? So
I would also encourage your listeners, if you have a chance, to pick up a copy of the current issue of St. George Health and Wellness magazine. There's a 3-page story about it in, beginning on page 16 with a picture of what it will look like.
And whose byline's on that?
One of our local writers.
Okay, local writer.
Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah, that would be you.
Yeah, but it's kind of fun. It has a lot of pictures of what people have done so far.
The mural is, to me, I mean, like, you get to be a part of your city's history.
And bring your kids and say, hey, there's your picture.
Yeah.
There was a large group of children last Friday night young ladies. They're probably in their tween years, I guess, from the LDS Church. And they just did beautiful, beautiful pictures.
Well, I'm going to do it, but mine will not be beautiful. I can tell you that. It will fit into the mural. I'll do the color scheme, but I'm no artist, at least not in that.
Am I, Andy. I can write, paint pictures with words, but visually it's not pretty.
Same here. And then the last thing on your list here, the art festival is six weeks away from right now, isn't it?
The big kahuna of arts in St. George. Lots going on. We have almost 200 artists who are going to be exhibiting all kinds of works of photography, painting, sculptures, textiles, you know, fine jewelry, all kinds of mediums. And then there's going to be, you know, entertainment on three different stages. There'll be two concerts that are free and fun on Tabernacle. My favorite one is with the party night of the art festival with Yachty by Nature.
Okay.
Yachty by Nature. They do yacht rock.
Okay. All right. That's like yacht rock. Like, well, I'm not even going to go there.
I know it's fun stuff, and it's danceable. Yeah.
We did get a caller real quick. Earlier, we were talking about knee surgeries and overweight issues, and I know Lane has been patient. Lane, we only have about a minute and a half left. What's up?
Yes. Dr. William Davis wrote a book I think it was 2012 about named Lose the Weight, Lose the Wheat, Lose the Weight. And he goes on to prove that wheat is not what it was when Joseph Smith said wheat was for man. Joseph Smith was correct in those days, but they modified it so they could get more pounds per acre. And they have changed the molecular structure of it, and it's not good for us. And I picked up this book for just a couple of bucks at the DI. I think you can get them on the net for probably used for $6 or $8, and it's worth its weight in gold, I'll tell you.
Lose the wheat, lose the weight? Is that what you said?
Lose the wheat, lose the weight.
Nice. All right. Thank you for the reference, Lane. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lane.
Interesting. It's hard to say no to wheat, though, so when it comes in the form of a cinnamon roll or a donut or something.
Pop-Tart.
A Pop-Tart. You didn't have to go there. Come on. Hit a guy where he lives, right? Mary Ann Hamilton is on every first Tuesday of the month. And Mary Ann, we've run out of time. Anything else you wanted to mention before we go?
No, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody around town, and hope you'll all come out to all the different art events, and we'll see you there.
Health and Wellness Magazine. You're in pretty much every episode or every issue nowadays,
every issue.
Aren't
it's been
you?
11 years. It's crazy.
Very cool. Well, we'll look for that. And again, I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Andy. Have a great day.
We are out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. Let's see. Dr. Blodgett with me tomorrow, and Mayor Randall on Thursday here on the Andy Griffin Show. So we got lots of good stuff planned for you. Thanks for listening.